Hello and welcome to the Movie Bunker podcast. It's me, Matt.
Hello, it's me, Chris. The Movie Bunker podcast, Matthew, is kind of a film review podcast with a twist, right?
It is.
We don't just review what's coming out in the cinema. No, we've chosen to pick the critically panned movies and try and find good things to say about them. And then we cajole special guests on the show as well to talk about their guilty pleasures and defend the honour of films that potentially have been panned by their peers. We find ourselves watching the worst movies and don't have any time for any of the good ones out there.
No, honestly, in the last 2 years, my viewing habits have changed to such a degree that I've missed out on some amazing films and like proper like Oscar winning stuff, like anything serious with a bit of heart. I've missed that.
For me, it's like, no, I won't watch The Irishman because I have got Terminator Genesis to watch instead. I don't have time for the Irishman. I know it's 3 hours long, but anything that, you know, that says you should go and you should see this movie. This is a good film, you know. I was like, no, I don't have time, Holmes and Watson. That's what I'm here to see.
Brilliant. Have you seen anything good, though, recently? Did we not talk about something we both watched and both enjoyed that was recent, and I can't remember what it is now?
I tell you what, I did watch something really good at the weekend, and it was Little Monsters, the new Sky movie that's come out.
Yes, I watched that. We didn't talk about this. You tweeted about this, and in the modern world of social media, that means that you spoke directly to me.
Yeah, I reached out. But yes, it was good, and I think the ukulele got a little bit grating after a while, but there's heavy ukulele use in this.
But it's the best rom-com since Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, I think so. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Josh Gad is in it. He does a very good turn as this like disgraced children's TV entertainer and an absolute asshole. The lead character, Lupita Nyong'o, is really good as well. Different kind of role for her doing comedy.
She is. I know it's wrong to put people to their base looks, but she is stunning. Even in this film, when she's sort of grubbed up sometimes with the blood and the gore, she's still as absolutely shining through this film.
Yes, yeah, she carries it.
Do you know what I've just noticed, actually? Because I got the film up on IMDb. It's worse rated than Terminator Genesis.
That can't be true.
Yeah, Little Monsters at 6.3 out of 10 and Terminator Genesis at 6.4 out of 10, which has to be our highest ever rated film that we've tackled on the podcast.
It is, but on Rotten Tomatoes, it's a 27% on the tomato meter with a 53% audience score.
I think that's better. That's more accurate than 6.4 is basically nearly a decent film. Can you do your thing and play the trailer?
Here's the trailer.
John, you can do this. You just go and you don't look back.
My whole life I prepared my son to lead humanity in the fight against the machines.
On this night, we take back our world!
There was one thing I could never prepare him for.
The machines tried to rig the game. Send a Terminator back to the time before the war to kill my mother.
I'll go back. Let me save her.
Come with me if you want to live.
Kyle Reese.
You know who I am?
We've been prepping for you to arrive for over a decade.
We? The Terminator.
It is nice to meet you.
I've been trying to teach him to blend in. I know it needs work. John.
Hi, Mom.
How can you be here?
What are you doing?
John!
What have they done to my son?
Survival's what you taught me.
Where is he?
Get out.
Not machine. Not man. More.
I can't leave him.
Whatever they did to John, we need a reversal.
Everything's changed. We are humanity's last hope.
Load up.
I've been waiting for you.
get him off me!
I'll be back.
What?
This film is why I don't watch fucking trailers anymore. Because this is the most spoilerific shit-ass trailer I've ever watched in my goddamn life.
Yeah, the main villain or the you know, the big reveal is revealed in the trailer. And actually on the, I think on the video cover as well, the poster sort of shows John Connor sort of morphing with all the kind of nanotechnology that he's got. Really weird decision to do that. I mean, I guess they just wanted
It's utterly bizarre. It's like, and it's one of those horrible trailers where it actually, apart from the fact it shows the very end sequence first, after that, it's pretty much in order of film and spells out the plot entirely. But yeah. Like, I wouldn't mind, but like the actual reveal in the film is about halfway through the fucking film. It's not like a first 10-minute kind of thing.
No, you're kind of plodding along quite nicely with it. But in the back of your mind, if you've seen the trailer and you know what the cover of the thing looks like, you know what is coming. It's ridiculous. But the plot synopsis for this one's a little bit basic because I think they didn't want to confuse anybody. So this is the plot synopsis that when John Connor
fucking failed.
Yeah, John Connor, leader of the Human Resistance, sends Sergeant Kyle Reese back to 1984 to protect Sarah Connor and safeguard the future. An unexpected turn of events creates a fractured timeline. No shit.
Oh, God, this film.
Where to begin with this monstrosity? I mean, do we have to begin? We could kind of have to begin with Terminator. I mean, the Terminator 1 and Terminator 2 are pretty cornerstone movies, aren't they? They're behemoths. They're pop culture go-tos in terms of style, substance. They had everything. They were action when action was good, practical and digital effects. And
they brought us Arnie. I mean, no Terminator, no Arnie.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember seeing Terminator 2 at cinema when I was probably about 12 or whatever, whenever it came out, and absolutely blown away by it. It was fantastic. Great soundtrack.
Yeah, that was that's a generation film, isn't it? I mean, that is one of those films where that seemed to turn a corner for cinema, I think. Weirdly, it just seems to be one of those sort of like, so that's how you do really massive action films.
And James Cameron at the time was riding the wave. Terminator 2, then Aliens, and then you got Titanic, and then it kind of, he just kept going and going, and he's the go-to guy for these spectacular sort of visual effects feasts for the eyes.
Feasts.
What happened next with the franchise is typically it's diluted and convoluted. It's very, it becomes quite monotonous and a little bit tired and trying because, you know, you get Terminator, Rise of the Machines when you had the lady robot.
The lady.
In the red leather.
It looked like Tasmin Oswaite from EastEnders, but it wasn't Tasmin Oswaite from EastEnders. No,
that was okay. I mean, what did you think of Rise of the Machines? Were you a fan of that?
No, it's a massive pile of shit. The problem is, the problem with the Terminator franchise in general is the fact that its very core concept is time travel. And it is a horrendous thing to try and put on screen. The number of films that actually successfully tackle time travel, you can count on one hand. So you got like the Back to the Future, you got Endgame, and you've got, that's it. The rest of them, what I mean by
Die
that
Hard.
is Die Hard. It's ones that actually go over one more than a film, for example.
Yeah.
Because that's when you start tripping over yourself. Like you can do like interesting, you know, singular time travel stuff. And then it begins and it ends, and what has changed is changed within that film, and it's perfectly fine. But as soon as you start treading on your own toes, then it becomes like a massive head fuck of just a head fuckery of what could possibly happen. It's like, why has this happened? It's like within the first 5 minutes of this film, everyone should have just ghosted off because they just pulled on their pants, shit on history, and then carry on with the rest of their day like nothing has ever happened. Yeah. And it's the same in Terminator 3. I mean, in Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, they introduced like the female robot, and that's like a kind of new hybrid machine, right?
Yeah.
in every one, they sort of go, oh, I know what we should do. We should introduce a new type of Terminator.
Yeah.
And then instantly that Terminator is then forgotten or just marginalized. Like Terminator's too big bad in Judgment Day is like the awesome liquid robot dude.
Yeah.
He's in this for like the first 5 minutes and they just get rid of him.
Yeah. Well, I'm confused anyway by him and what physically happens. What was your take on Terminator Salvation? Because that was a little bit of a detour, completely setting it in the future dystopian environment.
Yeah, I did. I thought that was had better chance of being right because it got rid of that problem of futurisms. Because it just sort of went, right, okay, we're just going to play out the bit that, you know, we kind of see flashes of rather than, you know, and then let's have a little, you know, future fight. Let's have a little fight with the robots. It's like, that's a good idea. It didn't work. It missed a few bits and pieces and it did the Arnie shoehorn thing, which kind of pisses people off. But
there were some great set pieces in that. I just enjoyed it as far as you could go with it. I mean, Christian Bale takes it far too seriously. And there's that famous clip. I'll try and find it and insert it here where he goes apeshit at a boom operator. Have you heard that? Which is unbelievable.
Kick your fucking ass. I want you off the fucking set, you prick. Now, don't just be sorry. Think for one fucking second. The fuck are you doing? Are you professional or not?
Yes, I am.
Do I fucking walk around and rip that? No, shut the fuck up, Bruce. Do I want? No. No. Don't shut me up. Am I going to walk around and rip your fucking lights down in the middle of a scene? Then why the fuck are you walking right through? Da-da-da-da like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you? What don't you fucking understand? You got any fucking idea about, hey, it's fucking distracting having somebody walking up behind Bryce in the middle of the fucking scene? Give me a fucking answer. What don't you get about it?
I was looking at the light.
Oh, good for you. And how was it? I hope it was fucking good because it's useless now, isn't it? Fuck's sake, man, you're amateur. McGee, you got fucking something to say to this prick?
I didn't see it happen.
Well, somebody should be fucking watching and keeping an eye on him.
Fair enough.
This is the second time that he doesn't give a fuck about what is going on in front of the camera, all right? I'm trying to fucking do a scene here and I'm going, why the fuck is Shane walking in there? What is he doing there? Do you understand my mind is not in the scene if you're doing that? Stay off the fucking set, man, for fuck's sake. Right, let's go again. Let's not take a fucking minute. Let's go again! And let's not have you fucking walking in!
I have some issues as well with the... with some of the sort of base concepts that Jai Courtney narrates over the beginning of this film. Is like, okay, so they wiped out everybody. Then the machines were like, let's then kill everybody that's left in a really inefficient manner. But if we find them, rather than killing them instantly, as we can do, because we're robots with robot hands and robot feet, tattoo them, bring them to a camp, scan them, and then kill them.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Why would you do that? When they're sort of collecting the humans and taking them somewhere to scan them, as you say, in that big opening kind of sequence, there's a Terminator sat in a truck driving it. And I thought, why would there be a fucking robot driving a truck? Why wouldn't they? I mean, surely they would have, by that time, have created their own transportation system.
And then they've also got like this conceit of like a security guard post where there's another robot stood there.
I'm just trying to visualise this robot going in and going, where the fucking keys? And he pulls the sun visor down and, oh, fucking brilliant, there they are. Starting the engine and driving off.
And then pulls into the security guard station. All right, Pete, how you doing, mate? Did you see the game last night? Well, yeah, of course I did. I'm not a fucking moron, am I?
Which just doesn't make sense. That it was
Which is how they caught them in the end, because Pete didn't speak. It's like, Pete! Hold on, that's not Pete.
It doesn't make sense.
The other thing, and I wrote in my notes, is I don't understand why they got teeth. they got robots, obviously. Like, and this is one of those things where they've kind of gone... It was necessary in Terminator And yeah, in Terminator, when we see the Terminator revealed, you know, Arnie loses all his flesh. We see it. It makes sense because it's the skeleton of the thing. So to make it look human, it's got like human teeth. And
yeah, but it wouldn't have human teeth. It would have dentures in it. It would have no teeth, but it would have like some enamel, organic dentures, wouldn't it? That would have burnt off. So that doesn't make sense either.
We can see this, like, you know, it has a look and a feel to it. That's fine. Why have the other ones running around with like human teeth? it's just weird. Just why would you bother with that? Like, they didn't even really need heads or anything. They could just be.
They could have been cylinders, or you know, any like a square or an oblong shaped robot with a gun sticking out of it. There's no reason for it to be humanized or humanoid.
The teeth just always freak me out. It's like,
ugh. No, it's a skeleton. Exactly. It's like, are they always going to be planned to be coated in flesh? But they obviously clearly weren't, or whether it was efficient for them to have, they've got the mold, so they just carry on the production line. But in the years and years and years that they've had, you know, in this apocalyptic dystopian future, they would have fine-tuned the robot, because they've done that with all the flying vehicles, and they would have found a way to transport them from one place to the other without having to turn the engine on and steer truck. It just doesn't make sense. Cast-wise, should we touch on who's in this then? Have you got the cast?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have, So we've got Arnold Schwarzenegger, top build in this.
Brilliant.
Which is fair, isn't it? Quite a lot. Jason Clarke plays John Connor, bad robot man.
Yeah.
Who was in our Winchester, right?
And he's another actor that just takes himself far too seriously.
Game of Thrones Emil Clarke, who one day probably won't be referred to as Game of Thrones Emil Clarke, so that'd be nice for her. Jai Courtney, as we've mentioned. Matt Smith, Doctor Who, pitches up as
he was cheap, I think. That's why he's in it. The
problem
surprise
is he's instantly recognisable. So when they pan through a crowd shot, you go, oh, Doctor Who, he's going to be a bad guy.
But the biggest surprise for me was J.K. Simmons. Is why the fuck's he in this movie?
He is the best thing in this movie by about 400 miles. Yeah, he's, I like J.K. Simmons.
I like him a lot, but he's seriously underachieving in this one, surely.
It's not his finest role, but he's still the best thing in this.
Apparently, he ad-libbed most of his lines. Apparently, he had no script. He did it all off the cuff.
Right, fair enough. I mean, it is weird, but it worked for him, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Emilia Clarke, this is kind of one of her biggest, a big role for her out of Game of Thrones, obviously. And
It was still mid Game of Thrones and stuff, so this would have been, until this year, was just part of the Christmas film, right?
I really like her. She's a really funny person in all the interviews and stuff that I've seen her on. She's really pretty down to earth and quite nice, but this isn't good for her. I mean, she says really weird stuff, like, you know, bite me, and you know, like real teenagery side. Yeah,
is that meant to be 80s kind of vibey things?
Oh, is it? The thing is, I'm confused because I don't really know where we are at any point in time,
but that's because no one makes reference to it. Because you get like Kyle Reese's character, Jai Courtney, right? So they kind of like allude to this a little bit. So as he's about to come back, he's like, my mum's just a waitress. And he's like, what the hell's a waitress? Because he lives in a dystopian future where they've never heard of waitresses. So he goes, oh, doesn't matter. And then sends him back. But then, like, you know, he's come from a dystopian future. He's never seen anything. And all of a sudden he's presented with like so much life and vibrancy. And at no point does he go, fucking hell, look at this place before it was all massively destroyed.
Yeah.
And then later on, Sarah Connor goes from 1984 to 2017. At no point does she go, bloody hell, look at all the weird technology that you guys have.
Yeah.
So like they make all these time travel things, but they're all just, where's me guns? I'm going to go shoot something.
Yeah, that's right. I hadn't actually thought of that. There is no kind of, you would be absolutely in shock going from sand and rubble to, vibrant Los Angeles, isn't it? Or San Francisco?
Yeah, you would go to a park and suck a tree or whatever. You mean, there would definitely be things that you would look to achieve to do because they just didn't exist. You'd go eat some proper fucking food and there'd be the scene of him just munching on a cheeseburger. Go, oh my God, this doesn't exist. And then being horribly sick because his stomach isn't used to eating meat.
Yeah, because he's just probably on a protein pack or just some sort of, you know, Kendall mink cake.
That's the only thing that survived. The other thing I had a trouble with is that when he went back in time, you know, you have to get naked and you have to do the kneeling down.
Oh, thing. Yeah, yeah.
Is that like everyone just stood there and just was like watching him? And I'd be like, could you guys just turn around? But they're really close and just staring right at him. It's just like, oh, come
yeah,
on, guys.
You would feel like, you know, I would say something like, oh, well, I'm, you know, a grower, not a shower.
It's cold in here, isn't it?
There's no humour there. Yeah, it's just, that's the other thing about this movie for me is just it's so serious. I mean, there's a little bit of, the humour that's injected is Arnold Schwarzenegger trying to be a normal person.
His smiling routines are funny.
Emilia Clarke does a little bit of a funny turn here and there, but on the whole, it's so boring. I mean, there's so many monologues. I was trying to watching it thinking, and it's not a short film, it's over 2 hours long, and it's like get fucking on with it. There's so many bits and pieces of dialogue where they're just monologuing at each other about, oh, this there was a time and this is going to be important for you, blah blah blah, and it's just all gravitas and it's just
absolutely, like, we can't change the future. We have to change the future.
It's absolute bullshit, and just think it's so boring. Talking,
no one seems to have a grasp of how biology works. Yeah. Because they keep going, right, okay, yeah, you got, like, you know, there's a kind of a running, is it a joke? I don't know, or a premise, the fact that at some point Sarah Connor's got to bang Kyle Reese to make future man.
Yeah.
John Connor. But that's not how it works. I mean, those moments are fleeting and exact. And, like, if you just, you know, randomly stuff one in there,
yeah, I mean,
at a different time of the day or a different, even if you've eaten something wrong that day or something different, you know, not the exact same sperm's going to get there. You know, you could end up with twin daughters instead of John Connor. It's like, biology doesn't work. Like, if two people meet, they will always have the same fucking kid.
No, yeah, it's biology and conception is a complicated.
I mean, yeah, if I was Chloe's, I'd be certainly going, well, we could give it a go. I mean, there's no harm.
I'm nervous, but I'll do it. I've never been with a woman before.
He probably has, and that's the thing. It's like, oh, my special purpose.
Nice night for a walk.
Wash day tomorrow. Nothing clean, right?
Nothing clean, right.
Yeah, I think this guy's a couple cans short of a six-pack.
Your clothes. Give them to me. Now.
Hey, fuck you, asshole.
You won't be needing any clothes.
I've been waiting for you.
I've got a question for you. And it involves the wet Terminator, which is what I refer to him as, because he's the slippery one, the one that liquefies.
Oh, yeah.
So in Terminator 2, the wet Terminator, yeah, he's important, right? But in Terminator Genisys, there is another one. Is he the same one or is he a different one?
No, I think it's a different one because they haven't made any effort to make him even look the same.
In Terminator 2, and this one especially, do they enjoy getting shot? Because they make no effort to dodge the bullets, do they? They literally allow themselves to just get shot in the face, in the eye, in the stomach, hand comes off. But then
their whole
purpose is to show off. It's just to go, hey, I'm back. It's not like they just do it once to show, yes, he's made of liquid. It's like,
what I thought was weird was the first time he kind of gets, he rests and he turns up, is that Kyle Reese shoots him. The bullet seems to have an effect. It kind of pauses him for a bit. And then later on, they're like emptying round after round and it's not even making him break step. It's just like, was he just toying with him? Like a weird, like, are they like the cat version of the Terminator, which are just like massive dicks? And he's just like, just kill the bird already.
Was he
doing that? I don't understand.
Maybe they are having fun with the humanoids, and they just think, you know, I'm the badass robot. That, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't understand how they work. I mean, I know it's impressive to look at, but what the fuck? I mean, how do they work? Where's the brain chip? And there's nothing. If it's all liquid metal, how is that even possible? What's controlling the liquid metal? What's keeping it together and making it form? I mean, I know we're not supposed to understand. Are we supposed to just expect it?
Well, no, because as we mentioned in Terminator 3, they have a version of it, the woman version, but she's also got an exoskeleton underneath, which was meant to make them better in some way.
I suppose if they get shot, though, there's something for, instead of going straight through, it's going to hit something. So surely it's not better.
I think it's not better.
It can't be better.
No.
Matthew.
Yes.
There's Terminator, right? So the original Terminator's in this movie, the CGI younger version of Arnie.
Yeah.
And so he's there. From 1984 or 85, whatever it was. But then there's also oldish Arnie.
Yeah.
Pops, we'll call him.
Pops.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's what he's referred to. So how come? So how did he get there?
This is never explained.
So she's like, kicking about. He rescues her from Amelia Clarke.
When she was 9.
Yeah, from a lake. And says, I'll look after you forever, don't worry. And
why?
Then, is it explained or did we just miss it?
I don't. Because halfway through, I was thinking to myself, surely they're going to explain how this happened. Like, because they mentioned the fact that his memory bank had been wiped and no one knows who sent him back. If they did explain it and suddenly go, oh, it was blah, 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 then I don't know. It's someone from the future, right? Because it's a young one. So when he first meets her, it's not like he's... So it's not... It can't be them sending one back because... Oh, I don't know. It's time travel bullshit.
Yes. Yeah, no, because when you see some flashback stuff from her when she was a child, yes, it looks like early Terminator. But
he's got the same clothes on as the guy from Terminator 2 and the same glasses.
So are we supposed to believe that... Oh, fucking, I'm confused because this is ridiculous. I mean, this is the point. This is the absolute point. There's just no need to make it this complicated. If you want to make another Terminator movie, just do the same sort of stuff and have a smash bang wallop. I mean, it didn't have to be. We don't have to redesign everything all the time. We go back and change it because all it does is alienate the audience. All it does is make people think, "What the fuck am I watching?" And do I need to hear another bloody monologue?
Oh well, you do because that's what you have no chance of understanding. Because in this one, halfway through, it becomes no longer Skynet, it becomes Genesis. So it goes from being this computer program that was designed to control the military of the world to some fucking phone app. It's the new Instagram comes out and suddenly that takes over the world and kills everybody.
They describe what Genesis is, and it's basically some...
It's Mac OS.
It's going to sync all my stuff together. So basically my Facebook, my Twitter, Instagram, it's all going to be synced to my Outlook and everything. So what? What the fuck? I mean, you're just going to have all your calendars in one place. Brilliant. I mean, what the fuck? It's going to order. Oh, yeah, but it's going to be in tune to the fridge. So that basically if I want to buy more butter because I've run out of cheese or butter or cheese, I could just press a button and Amazon will deliver it.
I'd like to see the conversation with the military. So it's like, why are you here? Oh, we just want to present our new app for you. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, so what it does is it brings together your Instagram and your home computer and your nuclear warheads. Sorry, what was that last one? Your warheads. So 1 minute you could be checking Instagram. The next minute you could be seeing how many nuclear warheads you got. And if you wanted to, you could launch them. Oh, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Install it right now.
Fair enough. It's got issues. But with the military... But wouldn't they have just created a Trojan horse virus type thing to do that? Why would they need to have everybody have an app, the humans, to bring all their life into one manageable space on a device or iPad? Why would they need any of that? That doesn't make any sense. Just create a virus thing that launches the codes, gives you the codes and launches all the fucking rockets.
That needs to be an app, because apps are modern and cool. And you could have a billboard of an app on it with a countdown time on it. The other thing, they got time machines and they keep turning up 10 minutes before something's going to happen. It's like, give yourself more time, mate. Don't put yourself under so much pressure. Turn up a week beforehand, or turn up as they build the building, plant some fucking bombs.
Yeah.
Wait for the building, then blow up the building.
This is true, because there's a bit in it which reminded me that, for what the fuck have you been doing for the last 30 years? So basically, when Sarah Connor and Jai Courtney, what the fuck his name is, go into the future.
Carl Reese,
go into the future, and they meet up with Pops again, who's been laying low, right? There's a montage when she's listening to her old cassette, and they're loading bullets into magazines, like a little competition. I'm thinking, he fucking had years. Why are they doing that now? It's like, what's he been fucking doing? I know he's built like stuff as well, but surely he would have thought, well, I've got a spare 10 minutes. I'll just load all these magazines with bullets so that they don't have to do it and spend, you know, waste an hour or half. I don't know how long it takes to load fucking bullets into a magazine.
But then did you not hear the other bit as well? He helped build the fucking thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, oh, do you know this? Oh, I was a construction worker here. What the fuck, man? Could you not have put the shit in then when you're building the place?
Yeah,
exactly. Sorry, I didn't think about that. I was too busy catching up on the Crown on Netflix.
Yeah.
What? No, nothing.
Well, they, you know, he develops foilings, doesn't he, in this time, because he has pictures he puts up of Sarah Connor as a child.
Does he draw them himself?
I know they're pictures that she's drawn.
I don't think they are. I think he's done them.
She looks so pretty.
With me on the pier with my favourite leather jacket and my rocket launcher and a little girl in my hand.
Yeah, holding hands.
Call my daughter and we will love each other forever.
We had an ice cream.
I couldn't taste it, but she said it was lovely.
Yeah, I can swallow. You could just imagine him trying to fit in and just ramming this ice cream into his face. Oh, it's a lovely ice cream.
jab. Bread freeze.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just amalgamating into his, changing into Mr. Freeze from Batman and Robin.
And then literally as he's eating it, it's just coming out of his ass like a Mr. Whippy.
Nice to see you.
Hey, do you want another cone? Oh, where you keep getting these ice creams from? From my butt.
Okay, now did it do well in the box office?
155 million budget, cumulative worldwide gross 440 million. Yeah, it did half a bill basically. So no wonder they made another one. Although the new one's meant to be good, right? I've heard good things about this.
But unfortunately it's not found much of an audience. I think people are a bit fed up with it all, really. Just the person I feel most sorry for in this whole thing is Arnold Schwarzenegger, because he's clinging on to this franchise. He must love it. Does he produce any of this stuff? I think he must have some sort of... He must be putting his hand in his pocket somewhere along the line to get this shit.
No, I think they just keep dragging him out and paying him to do it, because...
And I never used,
I mean,
to.
He's not bad in it, right?
No, but awful. He can't. How can he be bad in it, though? That's the thing. How can he? He is.
Yeah, it's true.
He just has to turn up. And I mean, I said it in the recent podcast where we did with about the Expendables, and you know, these old geezers, and they are so fit in their age in terms of how. I mean, how old is Arnold Schwarzenegger now? He must be pushing 70s. Like, but he apparently put loads of work in to get as close to his original physique of Terminator 2.
Not possible, is it, at that time?
Yeah, but he is a fucking amazing athlete. And I never used to like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but the more, I think the older I've got, and to see him sort of, and how he sort of presents himself and carries himself and stuff he does for charity and whatnot, and other stuff, charity.
He was born in 1947.
Wow. What I enjoyed, the good things out of this were, I thought the special effects weren't bad. I thought they were good, but then I guess they kind of have to be it for this kind of movie. There's, you know, a shit ton of money thrown at it. So
155 million quid.
Yeah, no one's going to tolerate subpar effects. But the effects that I enjoyed the most were Kyle Reese's character, or John Connor's character, and just the way they kind of, the nano-y stuff was quite nice and cool. I liked Emilia Clarke, but I would do anyway, probably, because I quite like her. She's a good character. And Arnold Schwarzenegger's good. But other than that, it's plop.
I did enjoy J.K. Simmons' rambling, sort of drunken cop act. That was kind of good fun. Arnie was nice to see in this. I like the aging of it, weirdly explained in this. But, you know, ultimately, the whole thing's ruined as it's just completely throwaway. Apparently, the future's not only rewritable, but so is the past, the present. Nothing is actually set in stone, apparently. So that annoyed me. Like you say, you, 155 million, you can't have bad special effects. I enjoyed the opening sequences more with the future robot wars, like we mentioned at the top of the podcast. I think there's scope for a good, you know, a good future Terminator film with laser.
It's a computer
beams.
Game. That's what all it needs to be. It's a computer game. Yeah. If you want to run around and like a tactical shooter, that's it. You don't need a fucking movie.
Yeah. So the thing is that there's so much glitz and glamour that it can. I can see why it's got its 6 point whatever rating on IMDb, because there's a lot of misdirection here. But once you actually sort of like start thinking about the performances, the plot, the script, that's when it all kind of unravels, which is what separates these action films from being great.
Do you want to see? So here's some sort of goofs and trivia bits and bobs. And yeah, this is my job. So
yep.
So in both Terminator 2 Judgment Day, which came out in 1991, and this film, Terminator Genesis, in several instances, our heroes fire grenade launchers at nearby targets, on which the grenade impacts and explodes. Now, high explosive grenades arm about 15 to 30 meters, that's about 45 to 90 feet, from the launcher after being fired. So a grenade launched inside a small room would not have traveled far enough to arm and would not explode.
So just like bounce around and you'd be like, yeah. Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, so I think we probably could find that, we could label that issue at a lot of movies. And
yeah, that happens a lot, yeah.
It's about time they addressed that and got it right. Okay. So, and another one for you. In the introduction, Judgment Day is said to have occurred in 1997. However, almost every vehicle seen during the nuke scene, like a Dodge Charger, a Toyota Prius, several SUV or crossovers, are from the late 2000s and early 2010. Come on.
Oh, that's tardy.
Yeah. Did you know? This is the first film that Arnold Schwarzenegger is not credited as Terminator. In the ending credits, rather than that, he's named as Guardian.
What would they just call it, Pops? Because, like, literally the only name they call it in the whole entire film is Pops.
Yeah, Guardian is not referred to, as far as I'm aware. Pops was quite a nice way of calling him, to be honest with you. And also, just quickly, Tom Hardy was first choice for John Connor.
Yeah, maybe it would have worked, but they would have had this quite strange American accent, which I don't always get along with.
So there's your goofs and your trivia. Well done. You're welcome. It's reviews time. I've got a 10 out of 10, Matthew, and it was written in June 2015 and by a user on IMDb called Ericava. Okay, 10 out of 10, obviously, because we've panned this movie, unfortunately, by the sounds of things, we've come to a decision. But yeah. As we know, loads of people enjoyed it, and that's fine. And that's obviously worth celebrating. So here's a 10 out of 10, and it's called Awesome. I loved it. All I can say is, this is a great movie. Long-time Terminator fans, you will not be disappointed. It's not disjointed. It's just smart and unpredictable. Arnold was at 15 out of 10. The two leads, no spoilers, had great chemistry. Sure, there were some implausible parts, but who cares? This is the ultimate popcorn movie with heart, laugh, and guts. After reading a few low nerd reviews, I almost got discouraged and was going to see something else. I am so glad I went. I will definitely see it a few more times in the theatres and then buy it for keepsakes. Add it to the tea collection. It was totally classic. It was way better than the last one for sure. Go enjoy the movie. Hasta la vista, baby.
Hey, see what he did there with his callbacks to the good films, trying to make you think this one's also good.
Okay, well, I got one.
Cool.
It's called The Real Terminator. Terminator. The Real Terminator 3. Exclamation marks, March. Kiss, 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 kiss.
Oh, brilliant.
Well, .. Terminator Genesis kicked ass. Every last damn bit of it. Both of those sentences are finished off by at least 5 exclamation marks. The entire cast, barring Jai Courtney, were bloody flawless. This guy's a fucking mentis, and he's still pointing out that Jai Courtney was shit in this. Brilliant. And even then, Jai was nowhere near as bad as I had previously anticipated. He would be, not by miles. I actually warmed to him greatly. Arnold Schwarzenegger is still every bit the amazing, magnificent, and commanding son of a bitch he's always been. Gave all those ageist fuckers a real run for their money.
Ageist fuckers, Jesus.
Ageist fuckers. But, comma, the true shining star of this piece is the astounding Emilia Clarke. While she will never replace the goddess that is Linda Hamilton, she is certainly no Lena Headey. She felt real connected and fierce. Just such a wonderful and very respectful portrayal of our dear Sarah Connor. I loved her in the role very, very much. That lady will go very far in this industry. Heart emoticon. They actually wrote the word heart emoticon.
Oh, this.
T, semicolon G is the real T, semicolon 3 dot, packed full of delightful references to the first two installments, and a thoroughly enjoyable psych cleanser. What the fuck is a psych cleanser?
What the fuck is a side cleanser?
Psych!
Oh, side. What is a side cleanser?
No, psych, like psychic.
Okay, psych. It's like an eye wash usually is side cleanser.
A thoroughly enjoyable psyche cleanser. This one's for the real hardcore fans, and even non-fans will enjoy it. So for everybody, that is, then it's just for everybody. The lavish action sequence and the bright heart that shines at its galvanized cores. .. It made me fucking cry.
Oh my God, that's bonkers, that one. That's probably the best one I've ever heard. I want a psych cleanser. I mean, I could do that every night.
It's like I get home from work. What should we watch? I don't care, as long as it's a psychic cleanser. It made me fucking cry.
It can't be true. Yeah, so that's Terminator done and dusted then, I guess. Just a quick one. Anyone who's forgotten the request, but by all means, get involved and contribute to the show. So if you see something good or bad or anything from our back catalogue of movies that we've reviewed on the podcast, send us a little voice memo and we'll play it on the show. Send it to us. And you can find our email address. I think it's moviebuggerpodcast@gmail.com. But just go to Twitter, go to Facebook. You'll find us on there. And send us
drop us a link on there, be easiest, yeah, or a little Facebook Insta story, something.
Yeah,
something
you can do
grab.
Oh yeah, do what you like.
Do what you like.
But yeah. Get involved. It'd be great to hear your reviews as well.
And if you don't want to do that, just like and subscribe, leave a review, help us out.
Okay, Matthew. Then until next time.
It made me fucking cry.
See you later.
Bye.
I'll be back.